every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAPA or any of them there A's.
Or any of them there are nouns.
The opinions expressed are clearly our own and not even that good. So don't sweat it. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
Shelley with a plate full of chips in front of her.
They're good chips.
Mark with a plate full of chips in front of him. They're Trader Joe's chips. Are there Trader Joe's in other states? You know what? This will show you the way alcoholism is. We're at Trader Joe's. I'm standing in front of a display for this stuff called Two Buck Chuck, this wine. And it's like the 15th anniversary of Two Buck Chuck. I'm like, you almost have to buy it. It looked like I needed to buy it. I mean, it was just like right there.
The weird thing was, it's kind of like that you need to buy it, but you don't really need to drink it.
No, but you should buy it.
I won't even cook with it.
No. I mean, the fact that it's called Two Buck Chuck lets you know that it's not that great.
And they call it Two Buck Chuck. It's not like, I mean, the name is Charles something or other, but no. The advertisement says Two Buck Chuck.
Yeah, well, from what I understand, it's really not a bad wine, but it's almost like said that by people that go, you know what, it's actually a pretty good wine. I'm thinking, there's people that really don't know what a really good wine is. Is one God's calling. You know what?
Apparently, you know, it is God.
Well, it is, and you know what God's saying? Bruce, you were right on the last show.
About what?
About that it was God's will and God's taking care of everything.
Brother.
Because I asked for God's direction. And he does. That was God, wasn't it?
No, it was God's daughter.
Oh. Whoa. Wow. Two words come to mind.
What?
Rug.
Yes.
Burn.
Yeah.
That's a shame. So, Shelley.
What?
How was choir?
It was good. We practiced the Easter show. We went through it all the way through.
The Easter show.
Da 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 da. we talked about Spring Station, which is this choir piece that's going to happen May 20th. And
Spring Station.
The theme this year is Broadway hits. So they're going to be singing a lot of Broadway hits. And then the choir director said, "Well, they're going to sing, you know, this from Evita, and they're singing this from West Side Story, and we were thinking maybe we'd sing this from the..." And then he said, "And then we're going to do some of that other God stuff." And then we all started cracking up because the choir director is saying God stuff.
What are you guys going to sing? What show tune?
Well, we're singing The Hills Are Alive.
The hills are alive
with the sound of music.
Wow.
And they're going to do, that's the I Want to Be in America song from West Side Story.
Really? Wow. I can see the choir doing that. You guys, you need Whoopi Goldberg up front.
I know. Our choir can't really do that song. We would have to do, like, I Feel Pretty.
You guys are going to do, you guys are really going to do?
What?
I'd Like to Be in America if I Was White in America.
Really? Exactly, really, I guess.
Perfect.
So.
If I Was White in America, really, I mean, you couldn't, well, the one guy is going to have the solo.
And Robin will have the solo. Well, he's the only non-white
person. He's the only
non-white
guy in the choir. And, well, there's an Asian girl.
Pretty Wonder Bread mayonnaise group, huh?
Oh, man, let me tell you.
The church as a whole necessarily isn't, because we've got a lot of Hispanic families and stuff like that, but The choir is pretty much a bunch of old white farts like me.
Cool Whip.
Because you have to be able to sing in English.
Well, it's not even really English half the time. It's like old English.
Ah,
What else are we singing? I don't know. We're doing a whole bunch of Broadway crap. And then we're going to do a whole bunch of God stuff.
You know what? Why don't you do stuff from Hair, Godspell? There's all kinds of
They're doing
of, like,
one from Godspell and one, and then they're doing something from Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah, do Jesus Christ Superstar.
And my favorite thing ever, finally, I'm going to get to sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic, which is my absolute favorite hymn of all time, and they finally agreed to sing it.
You know what she reminds me of? A cokehead that just had a kilo delivered. Oh, it's my favorite thing in the whole world. Wow.
It's a great song.
Your nines have seen the glory.
Mine eyes have seen the glory coming of the Lord.
Mayonnaise has seen the glory.
Yeah, that you should say that. Mayonnaise. Because of the way the choir is. Mayonnaise has seen the glory of the coming of the
Lord.
I'm not even going to go there. Where
he
I was
hath
go.
Trampled down the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored.
Wow.
Okay, move your butt.
You might be a redneck if you do
where the hooch of Lord is stored. The hooch of God is stored.
Wow. The hooch of the Lord is stored.
I know. Everybody move away from me before the lightning hits.
Rhymes. Okay.
It's a recovery 101 where the hooch of God is stored.
Wow. Time is it, Bruce?
Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
Okay.
My dudes have been cracking lately.
Your dudes have been all over the place.
Fran told me I had lovely dudes once, though.
The first story involves a penis.
She went there. Did you hear that?
Well, it's in the story. There. It's in the story.
Who decided which stories we use?
Well, I did.
Oh, she went there.
Kieran Lee from Derby, England, has insured his penis for $1 million.
$1 million.
He took out the insurance policy with Lloyd's of London this week. He took out the policy in case he suffered an injury on the job and were to lose... Well, it says lose his penis, but I think they means, like, not be able to perform.
It's $18.70.
What does he do for a job?
He's a porn star.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. He said the worst part of the whole thing is that if anything does happen to his penis, the money gets paid out to his boss, Frank LaPerry, and not to him. Which doesn't sound right. If you have your own body part insured, you should get the money for it.
Not necessarily. Betty Grable, they insured her legs for $1 million, and that was like in the 40s.
Mary Hart had her legs, Entertainment Tonight.
Oh.
Had her legs insured.
I was going to say.
She had $1 million legs.
Yeah, they had a light just for her legs. They actually went to the desk, the type of desk they were using that had no front on it because of her legs. I didn't think they were all that great.
Betty Grable had nice legs.
There was a major flight delay on a Canada carrier on Thursday after a cat named Ripples escaped from his carrier after passing through airport security, ran down the aisle on the plane into the cockpit, and then got himself scrunched up into an inaccessible area where there are lots of wires and stuff. They had to stop the, hold the plane on the tarmac while repairmen came out to dismantle the section so they could get the cat out.
Thank God they didn't decide to stop it at 27,000 feet.
What was the name of the cat?
Ripples.
Ripples?
Ripples. The cat was rescued and the flight was allowed to take off. It was 4 hours behind
schedule.
They're
going to call him Gripples now because he cost the airline a grip.
Yeah, 4 hours behind schedule. That's ridiculous. I'm sure there were a lot of ticked off passengers. Can you imagine being the woman that owned the cat? People would be so mad at you.
No, she'd be mortified.
You'd have to get off the plane.
You know what shall we do? Just kill it.
Shut up.
Oh.
In Los Angeles.
The other night, she was ready to kill a cat. I'm telling you.
Okay, after the fourth time that he sprays, I'm a little ticked.
if she would have had a knife in her hand.
I would not have done it myself, but I might have taken him to the vet.
From all you people from PETA, she was going to have the cat put down.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Got you to quit spraying.
Well, you know.
Should we do a tally of all the furniture that cat has destroyed? Because it might take a while. All right. We're moving on.
If you think that would be useful to the show, sure, go ahead.
We're moving on. In Los Angeles, sort of in Los Angeles, but not really, San Onofre Nuclear Generating Station,
yeah, that's
a small amount,
not even Los Angeles County.
A small amount of radiation has escaped from the nuclear power plant after a water leak prompted them to shut down a reactor as a precaution. They said the public was not endangered.
Old plant.
No, actually, this is a problem because this is the plant may be old, but all of this equipment is pretty much new. It was installed in 2010, and ooh, they're having leaks. This is not a good sign.
Brought to you by the lowest bidder.
Probably. Several of the new tubes are damaged, and they don't know why. They said the damage is unusual. They're attempting to identify the cause.
Yeah. Go in there and take a look.
Yeah, not me.
There's something. There's these videos that are like kind of these high-tech thinker videos from some company called TED.com. There's a thing about some type of nuclear reactor that they studied in the 50s and they decided against using it. Mm-hmm. Uses like thorazium or something, a different mm-hmm. kind of isotope or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're really looking at now as something that may be way more stable and doesn't require all the heat dispersing things. Because they were talking about putting something on the moon and what would they use for energy on the moon and all the different things they could use. But, of course, there's no water. The amount of water you'd have to come up with to use, you know, a nuclear power on the moon. So they came up with this idea. They may start switching plants to this, at least in the U.S. originally.
You know, I had kinda an idea cool. some time ago about nuclear, like, issues at power plants. You train death row inmates on how to repair nuclear power plants.
There you go.
You put a $250,000 prorated policy in their name to the designee of their choice.
Yeah, how about the person they
killed?
And
it prorates down.
Or their family.
It prorates down. If you have to send them into a nuclear disaster to go fix things and they die, whatever was left from the proration gets paid out to a family member like an insurance policy.
Yeah, or the victim. The victim's insurance.
The victim would be dead.
The victim's family.
I don't know. Most of the people that are on death row, you're not talking about people. They're like maybe a tax short of a box. I'm not sure that I want them in charge.
You know what? All we need is Leonard Nimoy.
They just finally got caught. Yeah, I know. We saw that.
We'll send Leonard Nimoy in. He can fix it. I was surprised he didn't step up for the Japanese.
Spock can fix anything.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Or the one.
The one.
Yeah. Did you ever hear the thing where they do, you know, there's this mishmash of vocal things, and it's got Jim Spock.
Okay, can we move on now to Fitchburg,
Spock,
Massachusetts?
I want you to give me oh, never mind.
Early Thursday morning in Fitchburg, Massachusetts.
In where?
Fitchburg, Massachusetts. Fitchburg? That's hard to say.
Fitchburg, Massachusetts.
Fitchburg, Massachusetts. Crap. At any rate, Judy Sanchez was awakened early Thursday morning by the FBI chainsawing through her front door.
Wait, is that Judy Sanchez from Fitchburg?
Yes.
Oh.
They held her at gunpoint for 30 minutes while her 3-year-old daughter cried in the background until they realized they were in the wrong apartment.
Ooh.
She's going to sue the shit out of them.
How come you didn't sue Bruce when they came into the wrong apartment one time?
Because they went to the wrong apartment instead of going to mine. That's why.
The FBI has apologized to Sanchez and has offered to repair her damaged door.
By the way, you did one of the most brilliant things I've ever heard anybody do when that happened.
Took all the stuff out of my apartment, moved it over
the one they'd already searched.
There was nowhere else to go. There was only 4 apartments. Yeah. We didn't know
going to get the warrant changed.
Yeah. They were all standing out, so there was no way to go anywhere.
Yep. Move it over to the apartment they already searched. They ain't going back there.
In
he was okay with it. Hey, do you mind if we put all our shit over here? No, go ahead.
in Kissimmee, Florida. Oh, sorry. In
Kissimmee, Florida!
Thank you. Sorry about that. Lillian Gomez has been suspended from her job at Sunrise Elementary School.
Oh, my God. Is she endowed?
I don't know. I didn't see a picture of her.
I think so.
She is accused of pouring hot sauce on crayons to stop the special needs children from eating them.
This isn't the one. That's horrible.
I do the same thing to keep my dog from chewing through the plastic on the fence. Is that bad?
Apparently, she's getting fired.
There was a
parents are outraged because they said these are special needs children. Some of them are autistic. They are traumatized because they can't express themselves like other children to tell you that it hurts.
They're artistic? I don't think you need
autistic, not artistic.
Oh, never mind.
Oh, wow.
If they were artistic, they wouldn't be eating the crayons. They'd be using the crayons. They're autistic.
There was some other gal that got fired from, who worked at a cafeteria, who got fired because she was way overly endowed, and it was like a middle school or something. It was causing the boys in line to like not keep going, and it was causing problems. They go to fire her. I see the picture of her. Holy crap!
They can't fire her for her breast size.
And little kids in nursery school are crawling after, going, "Mama,
yeah,
Mama."
She's probably gonna sue, but she's got to be like, first of all, good looking woman, and probably like ridiculously big. She's got like double F's or something. I mean, they're like out to here.
She's got a shelf.
Yeah, she can't even get near the food she's serving, I'm telling you. Well, you know, there's that old thing. If you can stand up against the wall and your boobs hit the wall before your nose, then you pass. And this gal, her boobs hit the wall before her feet, her head,
for the rest of her got in the room.
She sticks her arm out at full length and barely hit the wall.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Okay. Let's see. The mastermind of a credit card fraud gang in Georgia figured out an interesting way of weeding out the undercover feds who were trying to infiltrate his group. He forced the members to have group sex and then videotaped them. Obviously, if you're like in the employ of the government, you're probably not going to be down for that. I'm not getting paid to do this.
They might
I wonder
be
how many video
it.
Sales this guy's gotten on the side.
I don't know. It doesn't
it.
Say. Although he got caught, so obviously he's in jail now.
One of the guys, you know what one of the guys said? He went back to the FBI and said, "Dude, they're going to make me do a porn video, but I can get in if you say I have to, I will."
Yeah. And then once the guy started and said, "Okay, now we're doing this every week," he went back and said, "There's no problem here."
Yeah, FBI guy.
I don't see it. There's no problem here. At least I need to stay undercover.
Yeah, I haven't found it yet.
Yep.
I think we call that.
I was undercover.
Deep cover.
I was undercover last week. This week I was under Mona.
That's called deep cover.
Let me see, because there was a couple that I wanted to do really quick. Oh, in Los Angeles, police Tuesday night were looking for a woman who took off in a patrol car during a standoff in Pacoima.
Nice.
The woman jumped into a black and white squad car near the perimeter of the standoff and just took off with it. The officers
awesome.
Had walked away from the car and were near the house where the standoff was and didn't realize the car was gone right away. When they realized the car was gone, you know, a witness had told them that, well, that woman got in your car and went off with it. She dumped it somewhere. They managed to recover the car, but they still don't know who the woman was that took off with it.
Joyride.
You know, if you steal a police car, what's the first thing you're going to do?
Get into their little computer and look up all your tickets and erase them.
No.
Oh,
turn
okay.
on the siren.
No.
You got, if you're stealing a police car, you turn on the siren and lights and you go.
That wouldn't have occurred to me.
Oh, man, that's first thing.
I'd be trying to look up my record.
I like Shelly's idea.
Baby, I'm going code 3.
Oh, brother.
Code 3. Hey, I'm stealing a car, but I'm going code 3. Just listen for the siren. You'll
That's
find
right.
me.
You'll find me.
Cops in New York raided an apartment building Tuesday and found it had been turned into a pot farm. The apartment building itself. They broke
the
down
entire
the door.
Building?
They broke down the door at 610 Morris Park Ooh. Avenue. The top four floors of the five-story building were just acres.
And the bottom four was generators to run it all.
The electric bill was $74,000
for the month. That's exactly how they caught them.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the electric company realized that this one building was using enough electricity and water to power and provide for the entire block.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm a dope fiend. Did you hear that? See, I'm a dope fiend. Because I'm like, and the bottom floor was all generators because you would want to use generators to run the power.
You know, if you're growing pot today, wouldn't you call that one of those solar companies that's coming out now and installing, like, solar panels for you and have them do that so you don't, like, attract so much attention?
Or just run generators. And the other thing is for the water, they probably weren't using that much more water because if you think of five floors of apartment buildings, people running showers every day, you could probably easily water the plants with that. I'm sure you could water the plants with that much.
Okay, electricity, we're like way over. We got to get to the
this is a podcast. It ends
he goes,
Lisa.
We're not way over. And then later on, I'll go, how long was that show?
Yeah.
I was just curious. We have all night.
Okay, well, we got to get to the
7 hours of show.
Okay, it's going to be a marathon.
Shut up. There's two more that we have to get to. We have to get to this one. It's the hero of the week.
We
this guy rocks.
Okay, this is the hero of the week?
Yes. In Australia, Ken Grenda owned one of the largest bus companies in Australia. And in Australia, buses are huge transport because, you know, that's how most of the people get around. He's 79 years old. He sold his family-run company after owning it for 66 years. And instead
of when he was 13.
Now, keep this in mind. He sold the company. No one in the company is losing their jobs. So this is not like a big sad, oh my gosh, we're all losing our jobs. No. Uh-huh. But he took $15 million worth of his profits and gave it to his employees as a thank you.
Okay.
That's nice.
That guy that only been there for a week is like, yeah!
Well, no, it was the
they tiered it.
They tiered it. The amounts were from $8,500 to $100,000 depending on your
time of service. The guy that just started last week got $8,500.
Exactly.
And he's like, yeah!
Now, yeah, if you started a week ago, you got $8,500. If you've been there for 20 years, you got $100,000.
There was a guy who was friends with my grandfather and my father. And so I somehow, my obligation fell into having breakfast with him once a month. And when he finally, at 80 years old, decided to retire from his own company, he had three guys who had been working for him for over 20 years. He gave them the company. Here. Cheers. Bye.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so, you know,
pretty
cool. Yeah, I think that's nice. I mean, you know, he said that these people aren't just his employees, they're his family. I just thought that was really nice.
Yeah, he's the hero?
Yeah.
Yes, he's the hero.
Definitely the hero.
He'd be my hero.
I need a hero.
And we have to end with the Zamboni guy. This just cracked me up when I was reading it. In Apple's
term Zamboni.
Zamboni.
Apple Valley, Minnesota, which I used to live there, by the way, when I was a kid. Spectators, hockey players, and parents pressed against the ice arena's glass on Monday night, watching as the Zamboni driver weaved across the ice erratically and smacked several times into the machine, smacked the machine against the boards. Apparently, he was drunk. And just what should have been a 10-minute cleanup job on the Zamboni, they sat and watched him and pointed and laughed for 25 minutes while he just took the Zamboni, woo, back and forth across the ice, making all kinds of weird patterns.
How many people pressed up the glass do you think were MILFs?
Yeah, I don't know. And then somebody called the cops, and they arrested him for a DUI.
Yep.
On the ice in a Zamboni.
It's okay.
And it's operating a motorized vehicle.
Oh, my gosh. Poor guy. Oh, well, we've got one more. For Bruce. But we got it, and then we have to stop.
We don't have to stop. Shelly, go. Keep going. We don't have to stop.
Because it's a journey story.
Don't stop.
In Salem, Oregon.
Believe in.
Insane Salem, Oregon.
Oh, hey.
Dean Castronovo.
Yes. I stole his girlfriend in college.
Drummer for the rock group Journey.
I did.
Pleaded not guilty Tuesday in Oregon to four misdemeanor charges related to domestic violence incident.
See, I saved her from getting her ass kicked by Dean Castronova.
He got into a dispute with his girlfriend. Apparently, they have broken up now. He was charged with recklessly endangering another person, interfering with making a police report, and criminal mischief and harassment.
Well, I thought he was married.
Apparently not anymore.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and that is the end of the boozy news. That was lame.
I was going to talk more about Dean.
We know.
Yeah, I cut you off.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
Bruce?
Yes?
When Shelly says that this is the end of the boozy news, it's the end of the boozy news.
Apparently, when Shelly says it, it is so.
That was the longest boozy news in the history of the world.
And she saw that it was good.
Wow. Yeah, we've got 4.5 minutes to do our 15-minute segment here.
Guys, we have all the time we want.
I saw that it was
time
good.
Time is on your side.
Good, and it was good.
Time is on my side.
Yes, it is.
See, no one can sound like Mick doing that, though.
No.
You know, they're going to start touring with those guys, like, propped up in caskets pretty soon. Because I spent $150 in 1985 to see their, what they quoted as their farewell tour.
Yeah.
Imagine me being pissed like when 2 months later they announced they were touring again. Yeah. I'm like, mother.
Weekend at Mix.
Yeah, Weekend
at Mix. We'll just prop him up.
Of course, I think they've been doing that to Keith Richards for a lot of years now.
Dude, Keith Richards, that guy's blood's been cleaned more times. And,
oh.
Man.
Fortunately, he's got so many preservatives in him.
Yeah.
He'll survive forever. A long time.
He'll be like a cockroach. We can stick him in a microwave and he'll just run around like crazy and then he'll be fine.
I heard that Keith Richards can live off the nutrients in a fingerprint for a year. Just like a cockroach. So, Shelley, what's our topic?
Our topic deals with how the medical community views us, how we perceive they view us, how we deal with our doctors.
Sick.
Yeah. How we deal with our doctors,
what we tell them.
You know, I mean, just that sort of stuff, the medical side of things.
They don't care. Who's blew that music by?
Doctor,
well, the show isn't really going to go long after all, is it?
Doctor, yeah. Give me the news. I got a bad case of you pissing us off.
That doesn't work. It doesn't even scan.
Well,
that doesn't make any sense at all.
I don't know about you guys. I went to a psychiatrist once. My mom had me go to a psychiatrist. You know, for drug and alcohol addiction before, mm-hmm. you know, we knew really anything about program. And I used to go into her office loaded. I'd say, can I use your bathroom? She'd go, yeah, go in there and slam in her bathroom and come out and talk all long shit with her. And then she'd say, come back next week and say, okay, see ya. She said, you're in the bathroom a long time. She was totally not a dope fiend. She just fell for whatever I told her. It was awesome. I thought I'd just sit here for a while and then see if anyone said anything.
And how did that make you feel?
That's what she was saying. I said, that was a rush.
And then what happened, Bruce?
In my opinion, in the doctor's opinion, as laid out in the big book, I think the thing that was the whole reason they put that in there was because here was a doctor that was saying the spiritual idea might be a good idea, which was highly unusual. For someone involved in the medical community to say, hey, you might want to try that God thing, highly unusual. Now, doctors have claimed alcoholism and drug addiction as a disease. I mean, there's a lot of interactivity between doctors and
isn't there some place in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous that has some opinion from a doctor?
Yeah, the doctor's
opinion. That's what I just said.
Oh, that'd be a good place to put it.
Yeah. Oh, well, having the doctor's opinion in the book kind of gave 12-step recovery a little bit of credibility in the beginning.
Yes.
You know, my sponsor was talking about that the other day in a meeting. Because, you know, looking at it from the outside, looking at the program from the outside, if you're just an average person and you see all these people that meet once a week talk about their higher power and spirituality, it looks kind of like we're all a little bit off.
Like a cult?
Yeah, kind of.
It is.
And then to have a doctor actually do the forward.
We just don't drink any Kool-Aid.
And he wrote several articles about Alcoholics Anonymous. There's actually, if you go to silkworth.com, there's a whole bunch of his other writings on AA.
Is there silkworth.com?
Uh-huh.
How interesting.
You can read all about his stuff. I mean, he did, because he was a reputable doctor, he gave us some credibility. You know, people didn't look at us like we were a bunch of wacko nut jobs.
I did not know that.
How about doctors? How about psychiatrists?
Actually, that was Zina that told me about that website.
Oh.
How about doctors that continuously treat patients or recovery hospitals? They treat patients. My experience lately with a recovery
hospital.
Can you
finish a sentence, please?
But my recovery hospital that we go to quite a bit has a group of doctors there, and people, it's like they don't even give them big books anymore, and it's like they give them a 28-day program. They send them on their way, but they're more than happy to take you back in 6 weeks after you've gotten loaded. And then they send you through the exact same thing, and then they don't give you a big book. They don't do this. They don't do any of the stuff they used to, but you go back, and they're happy to take you back in again. It's almost like they want this self-fulfilling prophecy of we're going to release you without really that great a foundation so that you're almost guaranteed to come back.
I told you, recovery hospitals are like spearmint rhino dancers.
Yeah.
They get all the money out of your wallet they can, and then as soon as you restock your wallet, they want you back.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What do you think, Shelley?
I don't know. I think that first of all, I think most of the doctors in the medical community are sorely lacking in education about addiction and recovery.
Really?
Yes. I went to a psychiatrist who actually worked for Charter Oak that tried to give me a prescription for Ativan after, like, in my first year of recovery.
Do I know him?
For my anxiety. No. Oh. She doesn't work there anymore, I don't think.
Oh, she. Okay, yeah, I don't.
At least I haven't seen her up there. I don't know. But
kind of guarantee. Look, let me take the dope fiend and give them some dope and see if they end up back here again.
And then I've had other doctors that, you know, I periodically go through rounds with migraines. Mm-hmm. And I've been to a lot of doctors about it. And, you know, mm-hmm. the best they can tell me, well, you've got cluster migraines. And they'll throw a prescription for Vicodin at me. Mm-hmm. And I will tell them that doesn't really work. Because, it'll dull the pain a little bit, but it doesn't work any better than just, like, regular aspirin or anything.
And
I tell them what will work, which is not an addictive thing, Toradol, and they won't give it to me.
You know what the thing about Vicodin is? It doesn't relieve pain. It just makes you not care that you hurt.
I know, but that's not what I want. That's
Soma,
not why I'm
Soma's
going to the doctor.
The same way.
I'm going to the doctor to get pain relief, and that's not what, you know, and now what I've learned to do is that if it's really, really, really bad and I do have to get some Toradol, mm-hmm. I'll just go and ask for a shot of Toradol. They'll give me a shot, but they won't give me a prescription for it. They want to give me Vicodin, which I know really doesn't work. And in early recovery, there was a time when my headache cycle was really, really bad, and I had gone on for like a month. I'd slept maybe 2 hours a night because the headaches kept waking me up. And I got to the point where, fine, give me the Vicodin. And I tried to take it, and it just didn't work. So I threw the rest of the pills out because, and I tried to tell them.
I've sold those.
That's what Bruce said.
The dope fiends with time.
What are you going to do with those? Like, I'm going to throw them away. I'm like, you're going to what?
Well, they didn't work. And I'm not going to take something that doesn't work just because, I don't know. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me.
That's why I got sober.
When they took my son off of Ritalin and put him on something else, he still had a half a bottle of Ritalin. I had to pry it out of his hands to throw them away. He's like, Dad, finals are coming up.
I don't know.
Wow.
I find that whenever I see a new doctor and there's a chance that I could be prescribed something that might make me a little iffy, I always have to constantly tell people I'm an alcoholic. I don't, you know, and it's not that I won't take something that's properly prescribed,
mm-hmm.
because I will and I can, but
of course, Shane,
if there's
alcoholic.
An alternative, why not go for the alternative?
Remember the doctor that told me, I'm going to give you a prescription of these Vicodin. And I said, I don't really take Vicodin. And he goes, I tell him, I go, because I'm a dope fiend alcoholic. And he goes, well, I'll give you a prescription for ibuprofen 800s, but I'm still going to give you the prescription for Vicodins because I don't think they're going to work. And I'm like, well, give me the ibuprofen. And you know what? I don't know if anyone else has taken these things. Ibuprofen 800s, those things kick ass. I mean, they don't get you loaded, but I didn't feel any pain.
They make me really tired. I don't like them very
much. Because they're big anti-inflammatory, too.
Yeah, they are.
And a lot of my pain was as a result of inflammation, so my rotator cuffs.
Yeah.
It worked really well for me.
Handful of Aleve does the same thing.
I had a number of teeth pulled in one day. And the guy gave me Advil. My dentist gave me Advil. And I'm like, and I'm looking at him, I'm like, Advil? Really? And he goes, do you know why there's a limit on how many Advil you're supposed to take in a day? And I go, no. And he goes, because you can overdose on them. I'm like, really? And he goes, yeah, like seriously overdose on them. I think the maximum's like 6 or something in a 24-hour period, they say.
Oops.
Oh, no, Advil and ibuprofen is the same thing.
Yeah.
Crap.
You can't take more than 1,600 milligrams in a day.
And they give you a stomach thing to go with it, stomach med.
Yeah, to calm your stomach down because it can irritate your stomach. But the other thing is, like, when you're talking about psychiatrists, alcoholism is listed in the DSM. It's...
What's the DSM?
Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Psychiatry.
Okay.
It's listed in the DSM as a disorder, but the medical community, especially psychiatrists, are split on it. There is some genetic evidence that alcoholism is an inherited disorder because they found genetic markers in people that are alcoholic. Their parents have the same marker. But some doctors don't believe that some doctors believe that the alcoholism is masking an underlying psychiatric problem.
When Mark and I...
That we're self-medicating.
When Mark and I and Marty first got sober, you could go to state disability and get disability for alcoholism. And they don't do that anymore, but you could. Because I, around the 502 Club, people are going over there and getting checks. You know, I'm like, really? And then someone told me that I could have gone for diabetes. And I went over there and they said, no, not for diabetes, but as an alcoholic you can. And then, like, right after I was signing up for it, they got rid of it. And I'm like, oh, you bastards. Where's my free money?
Well, you don't get any. I didn't get any. And I'm nuts.
Medical disability. I got it. I'm all for it. I'd take it. Mark.
What?
What are your opinions on the doctor? The doctors.
I have to respectfully disagree with most of the opinion about doctors and them being sorely in need of education. I think that the responsibility of the drug addict and alcoholic is to plainly lay out to the doctor what their wishes are. Because I think your doctor always wants to help you as best they can, but they can't help you if you don't communicate to them what you need.
True. I mean, I told my doctor straight out, I'm a dope fiend.
Yep, I've got
give you Vicodin anyway.
I've got a handful of doctors. They are all very well aware. And, you know, I mean, I'm like, I tell them, and I tell them, don't worry, I'll tell you again, you do not need to put it in my chart.
Well, so. What I wonder about with doctors, though, is like, let's say I'm really clear with the doctor, and I'm saying, I'm a dope fiend. Kind of what I wonder with doctors is, like, the ibuprofen 800, which has a great anti-inflammatory, was perfect for what I had.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they suggest that first instead of the Vicodin?
Because insurance companies have regulations in certain drugs that they've approved for them to use in general, and Vicodin is one of the biggest ones. Therefore,
I know, but the insurance paid for the ibuprofen 800 too.
Yes, and they will, but the first call is for Vicodin.
Because they're trying to get us all hooked. Otherwise, it tells the non-narcotic work just as well.
It's what works, but, you know, what else works? Look, Vicodin, like anything else, you take it under a doctor's care as it's prescribed, and there's not an issue. Because a doctor's not going to prescribe enough of it to you to get you hooked on it. Now, we may get hooked on it anyway, and that's on us. But, you know, I mean, I had... when I had spinal meningitis. After the second day, the doctor said, the Dilantin's not working for your pain. I'm putting you on morphine. I said, no, you're not.
That doesn't sound good.
He goes, yeah, I have to. I said, no, you don't.
And you were on Dilantin? Isn't that like a dilaudid?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a derivative.
Ooh. Dilaudid, the holy grail of pain meds.
No, it wasn't doing it.
Or the holy grail of oral pain meds, I
It wasn't
say.
Doing it.
And yeah, well, that's a... Well, it's like we've talked about on the show. If I get hit by a car tomorrow, I want them to give me whatever they give someone who gets hit by a car.
Yeah.
Once I get to the point where I'm getting out of the hospital, then I got to really watch because, you know, my experience is there's other things that work for me, and I would probably opt for those. Yeah. But when I'm in the hospital, you give someone Demerol, give me, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, my father ended up calling my sponsor. My sponsor said, tell him to take the freaking morphine.
I'm like, can I get some of that to go?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm a, a little bit wary because it seems like every single time I go to the doctor and it, and I tell them that I'm an alcoholic, they still want to give me things that I'm not comfortable taking. And there are other alternatives.
Well, if you tell them you're an alcoholic and they don't want to give you vodka for pain, my feeling is unless you fully explain to them that you have addictive... an addictive personality, you don't want anything that you could get addicted to.
Yes, and I have. And they said, well, this is what works best. And I'm like, well, there are other alternatives. I've researched other alternatives. I know that there are other alternatives.
And when you have that conversation with them, then they put you on something different.
Sometimes.
They start with what works best because they don't want to get sued.
I did have a couple of years ago when I had a stomach problem.
Case, they should start everyone with morphine because we know for sure that'll work.
That works.
Well, every time.
I had a stomach problem a couple of years ago, and the doctor that I went to see, for some reason, even though Vicodin gives you stomach aches sometimes.
Never bothered me.
He still gave me that anyway while we waited for tests to come back to see what the problem was with my stomach. And I was on it for a couple of weeks. The tests came back. They couldn't figure out what was wrong. I was still having the pain. And I said, you know, isn't there anything else? I don't really want to be on this long-term or even short-term. I just, can we try something else? Because this isn't really working very well.
Oxycontin will be good.
No, actually, strangely enough, what he tried was belladonna, which is
the
actually... Well, they use it. It's you can buy it at, like, health food stores. It helps people sleep. But if you take too much of it, it'll kill you.
Oh, that's the one. There, you know what? There's a
it's
thing
deadly
in the,
nightshade.
There's a thing in the big book somewhere that talks about...
The belladonna cure.
The belladonna cure, yeah.
Yeah, just take a whole bunch of it. It'll kill you.
Right. But he gave me that, and it cleared it up. And I was so excited because it didn't make me loopy or anything.
You know, the last time I took Vicodin, I actually took it. I went and visited someone's house, went into the bathroom, closed the door, turned on the faucet so it would mask the sound of the medicine chest opening up, and there was Vicodin there, and I took it. That was the last time.
Last November?
That was before I got sober.
A week last Tuesday.
It was this morning.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's up to us to make sure that our doctors know what the score is. Yeah. But I also think that, I mean, when I have a psychiatrist that actually works in a recovery hospital trying to give me Ativan when I'm out of the hospital, that's a little ridiculous, I think.
Well, you know, along like the theory, like Mark said, you know, they want to give you what they know will work.
Yeah.
So I stand with my contention. Yeah, prescribe morphine to everybody.
That's right.
Because that'll for sure, it doesn't even matter what's wrong, that'll work. I got a headache? Yeah, it works. I had my leg cut off? Yeah, it works. It works no matter what the problem is.
You'll and be on it longer for one it. Than the other, though.
I'll bet insurance covers morphine real well.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm up a tree because I can't take it. I'm allergic to it.
What really sucks, though, is if you're on it for a period of time because your body builds up a tolerance very quickly to morphine, so they have to keep doubling the dosage.
Yeah.
After a while, the insurance company does not want to pay for that amount of morphine that you need.
I had a friend who was dying of fourth stage cancer, and they gave him. I mean, at the end, he was on fentanyl patches, and like, I mean, there was he was on a laundry list. There was like Oxycontin and fentanyl patches and morphine. And when I was talking to the guy at the hospital. The guy, and he said that. He said, you build up a
tolerance
for morphine really fast. He goes, if I gave you a third of what he takes in morphine. He goes, it'd kill you right now.
Yep.
And he goes, and that doesn't count in the fentanyl patches and the other stuff, you know. And I was like, wow. And he says, yeah, it'll knock you right out. I had a friend that used to take phenobarbital for seizures. And he took, like, several of these pills for seizures, and he was, like, totally normal. I mean, you talk to him, he's totally normal. There was, like, no ill effects. And he said when they first started him on it, they'd give it to him. He goes, he was, like, out, like, completely loopy. And he was out for several weeks where it just looked like he was loaded all the time until he got up to that level of tolerance where it worked and it didn't knock him out.
I knew guys who were on phenobarbitals that they took him to get loaded. And they were just, I mean, it was like watching somebody hit a slow motion button on a tape when you watch them move. It's like,
Well, and there's psych meds like that.
Yeah.
What's the one?
Which one?
The one.
Lithium?
Lithium.
I hate lithium. I said that for months.
Yeah, lithium. Mm. You start to give people lithium. And, you know, when Shelly started on lithium, she didn't even want to take it anymore. She's like, I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take it.
I couldn't talk. I couldn't move my arms right. I was completely a step behind everything all the time.
None of these
I kept asking people, what did I just say?
None of these are up anymore because they were from a previous cast. This show was a riot when Shelly was on lithium, when she was getting used to it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the catchphrase for all those shows was Med 6.
Shelly won. She'd stop right in the middle of a sentence and suddenly look around and go, what was I talking about?
What was I talking?
It was awful. I hated it. But, I mean, it worked.
It's time for the newcomer perspective, Shelly.
I mean, it worked, like, in terms of as a mood stabilizer, it's great. The problem is getting used to it.
Yeah, well, the mood you were in was like, too bad.
It really stabilized my mood.
She was like that 24/7.
I feel like I'm in a Foster Brooks mood.
Oh, dude, Foster Brooks. There's a skit he does with Dean Martin when they're in the airport, and Dean Martin's in there, and he's having a few drinks, and, you know, Foster Brooks is there, and he'll do the thing. He's like, my name's Bill. And he's like, oh, hey, what are you doing, Bill? And he goes, oh, I'm just kicking back before my flight. And he goes, I'm taking that flight. And he goes, well, what do you do for a living? He goes, I'm your pilot. You'd have to hear Foster do it. He was the classic, the funny thing is, guy didn't drink at all, but he really sounded like he was hammered.
No, Ajax Airlines, Hudson and Landry. That's the funniest one.
Hudson and Landry.
Hudson and Landry's off the album Losing Their Heads.
Okay.
Everybody should go look that up on YouTube.
Is it on YouTube?
I'm sure it is.
Perfect.
Everything's on YouTube.
So, Shelly.
What?
What are your final words on Doctor, Give Me the News?
I don't know. I think you should do what you're told. However, you also have a responsibility as a recovering addict or alcoholic to do a little research, to do a little footwork, and make sure that what you're getting isn't something that's going to get or keep you loaded later on. You know, if there are alternatives to a lot of things. There are a bazillion painkillers out there, and not all of them will make you loopy. You know, and I had to look that stuff up.
And almost all of them work. I've tried most.
Yeah, almost all of them work. You just have to find the one that works for your particular pain.
Mark,
what
are your final words on doctors and their opinions?
Your doctor can only be as good as the information you give him.
That's a good wine liner.
A wine liner?
A wine liner.
That's a good wine. Well, you know, I told you the last time I did that Viking, it was like this morning. I don't know. My final words on it is I used to have a friend, and when he wanted to get a certain prescription, he'd get the physician's desk reference out, and he'd look at all the things that they would, you know, prescribe
symptoms.
That for, and he would go in and complain of those prescriptions. And then
no, a
lot of times the doctor would say, well, I'll try this first. Oh, no, I'm allergic to that. Well, I'll try this. I'm allergic. And he'd wait till it got up to really what he wanted, and then he wasn't allergic to that. And I think as recovering alcoholics and addicts, it was easy to try and get stuff prescribed to us in the past by doing a little research. I agree with Shelly. You can do a little research and find out other things that don't have to. I agree with Mark, too. You know, you got to give them the right information. You know, because as dope fiends, we have a tendency to want to leave that out because that's I did that for years. I'd do whatever I could to get the right med. And when they like go, I'm going to give you Vicodin, the back of my head goes, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I got to think, why am I getting excited about getting Vicodin? Because I'm really wanting it to kill pain. And I see the problem that we have a lot of times with people in the program is they'll get a Vicodin or something like that because they've had a knee surgery or whatever kind of surgery, and they take it as directed.
Two every 6 hours.
Yeah.
Not six every 2 hours.
For a while. And, you know, and after a while, that doesn't really work, and then they want more, and they want more, and they take
soon,
it under the guise of it's prescribed.
It's a Skittles party.
Yeah, and we've seen it many times. Yep. Shelly. No, Mark.
What?
No, Shelly. No,
what?
Mark.
What?
Who are our friends back east?
In Philadelphia?
Yes, that's the place.
That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat.
Bruce runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can get there. The best way to get there is go to recovery101.net.
Yes.
Our site. Scroll down. Click the link.
It's a lot easier to spell than 12stepgazette.com.
That's right. That's right. So you click the link and you go up and you can read his fine publication online. Get it emailed to you or get the subscription prescription and he will send it to you via the United States Postal Service as he just recently did to us.
So yeah, we got a whole
stack.
Bunch of them. If you've got a like a sober living house or something, you tell him, he'll mail you copies.
Or an ass-kicking podcast.
You know what? Let me tell you.
Yeah.
We figure prominently.
I've given them out.
In the recent one, he actually talks about us talking about something on a show that created an article in there.
Yep. So anyway, if you're interested in getting a franchise, contact Bruce, and he'll give you all the information you need to bring the 12-Step Gazette to your little corner of the world.
Pretty darn turnkey, too. He hands it to you, like, with all the articles and everything. You just get the advertisers for your
advertisers.
Area.
Advertisers.
You got to stop the Vicodin on the mornings of shows.
You have to, because you got some problems tonight.
I feel like Charlie Callis.
You just washed your tongue. You can't do a thing with it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that guy. We've got email addresses.
We do.
At recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff by emailing us at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
Like us. Shelly, who's the lead out music by?
Forever Amber.
Which one?
Sippy Cup.
Of course.
For?
Marty.
Sweet. Marty, the one-man party. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
Later.
You are beautiful.
All the babies in the club, bring your sippy cup. All the mamas in the club, bring your sippy, sippy cup. What's up, buttercup? Wanna get fucked up? Wanna get drunk? Crump. All the babies in the club, bring your sippy cup. All the mamas in the club, bring your sippy, sippy cup. What's up, buttercup? Wanna get fucked up? Wanna get drunk? Hey, yeah, hey, yeah, never wanna be hated. 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 Digging on your lips, taking steps from the Pacific cup. Crazy about your hips, taking dips while we're getting fucked up. Check me once, twice, naughty or nice. Touch me with a sexy and you're gonna pay the price. You know I'm crazy about you, you're all shiny and new. All the things we can do to turn the gray skies to blue when she said. All the babies in the club, bring your sippy cup. All the mamas in the club, bring your sippy, sippy cup. What's up, buttercup? Wanna get fucked up, wanna get drunk, crump. All the babies in the club, bring your sippy cup. All the mamas in the club, bring your sippy, sippy cup. What's up, buttercup? Wanna get fucked up, wanna get drunk, crump. Yeah, 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 never wanna be hated. Yeah, 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 never wanna be hated. Yeah, 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 never wanna be hated. Yeah, yeah. Never wanna be hated. Trippin' on what's trippin' when your body's close to mine. And dizzy with the tizzy when you're looking so fine. Loving on your rubbin' when we're climbing in the sheets.
Waking on your drinking when we're grinding to the beats. I'm fucking digging you bad. I'll be the best you ever had. So quit looking so sad. Your lips are driving me mad. Digging you bad. I'll be the best you ever had. So quit looking so sad. Your lips are driving me mad. All the boys with the toys, bring your sippy cup. All the girls with the curls, bring your sippy sippy cup. What's up, buttercup? Wanna catch enough? Wanna get freaked up? Wanna get drunk? Call all the boys with the toys, bring your sippy cup. All the girls with the curls, bring your sippy sippy cup. What's up, buttercup? Wanna catch enough? Wanna get freaked up? Wanna get drunk? Call. Never wanna be hated. Jaded, faded. Never wanna be hated. Jaded, faded. Never wanna be hated. Jaded, faded. Never wanna be hated. All the boys with the toys, bring your sippy cup. All the girls with the curls, bring your sippy sippy cup. All the boys with the toys, bring your sippy cup. All the girls with the curls, bring your sippy sippy cup. All the boys with the toys, bring your sippy cup. All the girls with the curls, bring your sippy sippy cup. What's up, buttercup? Wanna catch enough? Wanna get freaked up? Wanna get drunk? Crunk.